Sounds Drive.
Praise the Lord, everybody. This is Pastor Dallas, and I personally want to thank you for purchasing or receiving this CD. It is our hope and prayer that our ministry blesses and enriches your life in such a spectacular way that you can noticeably see a change, and not just your life, but that change also has a way of impacting and affecting your entire family. We pray the Lord's blessings upon you continually, and as you listen to every word that comes through this CD message, we pray that you will see the transformation of the Lord and sense the power and anointing of the Lord as he was resonating in our fellowship. Now sit back and listen to this.
Amen. I was driving down 75, and right when I got to the Rouge River Bridge, it was ice there. I wasn't driving fast, but it was enough to slip. You know, how many know sometimes you're not going too fast and you can be paying attention. I'm talking about life. And sometimes your feet will almost slip. Amen. But I thank God that he allowed me to be able to sense that something was going on in the tires. Amen. And he kept me on course. Didn't let me slide off course. When you listen, God will keep you from sliding off course. Hallelujah. Amen. So I thank God for his provision on today. Amen. Allowing us to be able to make it here one more time. Amen. To come together in the house of the Lord to give him praise and worship. Amen. We honor him in his presence on today. Thank you to the praise team. Amen. I know that some of the levels were a little up and down. We're trying to get everything so it's balanced. Amen. It's not just what you hear here, but it's what they hear when you're listening at home. Amen. We want to make sure that there's a balanced sound. So I appreciate Tamal and all that he's doing. Amen. To get the adjustments. Amen. So that our levels are correct. Amen. This morning, I want to go to the word of the Lord. And if you would, open your Bibles with me to the book of Psalm. Amen. And we're going to look at Psalm number 9. Hallelujah. And I wanted to go back into the word from last week. And the Lord said, okay, yeah, but here's what you're going to do. And how many of you know when you are in pursuit of him, there are some times when we have desires to do things, but his word speaks louder than our desire. And if it's him we're pursuing, we have to be able to obey what he says. Amen. Amen. So this morning we're going to look at Psalm 9, and we're going to look at two scriptures. Amen. And then we're going to try and summarize those few scriptures. There were some good reading scriptures on this past week. Amen. It helped us to understand how when we're in pursuit of God and seeking his counsel and his wisdom. Amen. The word of the Lord tells us that the Lord also would be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in time of trouble. Verse number 10. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, has not forsaken them that seek thee. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, has not forsaken them that seek thee. Amen. This morning, I'm just going to talk about the pursuit of God. Amen. And I want to let you know that pursuing God is not a goal-oriented task. You don't pursue him one day, find all you have to find about him, and stop. The pursuit of God is an ongoing event. It's a marathon, as if you'll make several road markers along the way. There will be many flags, but until we get to glory, we won't achieve the checkered flag. So it's not goal-oriented. There is no stopping to this pursuit. This is not a spiritual game of hide and seek. God is not hiding from us, and we are seeking him to say, I found you, and then it's over. Understand, the goal is not just to find God. We can't find him unless he finds us. But the goal of the pursuit of God is to be like him. Hallelujah. So the goal is to become transformed by the renewing of our minds. I remember some time ago, the automaker Lexus had a commercial that they would put out. And their slogan in the commercial was, the relentless pursuit of excellence. In other words, what they were trying to say was, excellence is not a goal that once you achieve it, you stop, but you continue to push for excellence. Hallelujah. As we learn more and more about God, as he becomes revealed to us, then our pursuit of him causes us to want to know more. I remember some time ago, I would hear my father say that to know him is to love him. And the more you know him, the more you want to find out about him. Hallelujah. Now, this statement, the pursuit of excellence, is a statement that's being used by transformational leaders with the idea of where you are now is not the goal. But where you are right now is a stop along the way in the pursuit of. Hallelujah. Don't stop. This is just one step. You've come this far not to stop. You've come this far to keep going. Look at your neighbor and say, keep going. Right? You didn't go through all you went through. You didn't fight the way you had to fight. You didn't stand the way that you have to stand just to quit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shipmakers don't make ships with a wave designed to take it under. But they make it so that it would be unsinkable. Unbreakable. Boeing don't make airplanes with the idea that it's going to hit enough turbulence to fall out the sky. Come on. So God doesn't make us designed with the right storm that would take us under. There's no place that you can get to in your pursuit of him. Watch this. It might get rough, but the storm that you're facing is not enough to stop you in your pursuit. You might get tired, but this is why God say, lean not on your own understanding. Because he wants you to depend on his strength in you, right? We will pass out. We will fail if we depend on our own strength, our own mind, doing it our own way. But when we trust God, he will always give you just what you need right when you need it. You ever been walking with the Lord and didn't think that you knew something about where you were, only for him in the midnight hour to speak peace down on the inside of your soul? When you thought that all the hell that you were facing was getting ready to take you out, God speaks just one word. I remember, we thought, Pat, this story, this is like my children of Israel coming out of Egypt story. Because I remember when we thought we were going to have to move, and I was getting ready for church on Sunday, going through for months and not telling anybody, but making preparations to do something different that I thought we had to do. only for God to stop me in the middle, watch this, of getting ready to come and preach and tell me, you are not without options. God will step in the ninth hour and will interrupt whatever storm it is that's in your life to get a word to you to tell you that as you're pursuing me, you are not without an option. Hallelujah. Thanks be unto God who always gives us the victory. And in giving us the victory, he wants to reveal the plan to us. Right? So as we pursue him, he reveals himself to us. This is why you can't stop chasing after him, because the enemy is always trying to chase after us. So I'm going to keep pursuing God because I need more to be revealed about his nature. I need more to be revealed about his character. I need more to be revealed about his plan. See, what God has given you up to this point is only the portion that you can handle right now. You can't handle no more. Tell yourself, I can't handle the rest of the narrative. Right? God, it would literally blow our mind. We wouldn't know how to focus. We wouldn't know how to keep our faces and our minds stayed upon him. If he told us the end from the beginning, we wouldn't want to go through the middle. We would just want to get to the victory. We wouldn't want to go through the test. We wouldn't want to go through the trial. We would just want to go straight from the word, the prophetic word, to the promise. But God says, I don't need you to get to the promise without understanding the process. This is why God piecemeals information to keep us in pursuant of what his will and his word is for us. So give me this day. This is why he said, pray this way. Give me today the morsel of bread that I can handle. He never told us to pray for the whole loaf. So if you're praying to try and see the end of it, you're praying amiss. You're praying outside of the prayer pattern that God gave to his people. Give me today the word that I need today to help me to know that I can stand today, to help me to know that I can make it today, to remind me that I am victorious today, to remind me that I am an overcomer today, to remind me that I am the head and not the tail today, to remind me that I am above only and not beneath today. Remind me today who I am. I know that if you're in me, you're gonna keep working on me tomorrow. But I can't handle that part of the process. Make me what I need to be today, so when tomorrow comes, I won't fail under the pressure. I used to work in the tool and die industry. And we would take steel that was designed to press steel into what it's supposed to be. We would make the piece of equipment that was used to punch or to flange or to shape, whatever the die was, we would make it what it needed to be. But before it could be used, it had to be hardened because it was pressing against something that had the potential to be just as hard as it. Sometimes when God is taking you through the hardening process, he's preparing you for that portion of the test, watch this, that has the potential to break you. I'm trying to break this down. The potential. How do I know? Because think back in your story and all the crazy that you may have gone through. You know somebody that didn't make it out. You know somebody whose life can mirror yours, who didn't come out like you came out. Oh, but I thank God that he kept me in the middle of, watch this, I wasn't always acting right, but my heart was always right. Y'all understand what I'm saying? In my young infant Christian days, yesterday, because we don't always think right, we don't always act right, we don't always say right, we don't always do right, we don't always be right. But I thank God for the beating. I thank God for the hardening process. That as I'm pursuing him, he's keeping me from being broken by things that have the potential to break me. Oh, come on, somebody. So we have to have this relentless pursuit of God. Hallelujah. So when people in the world use this pursuit of excellence, it's not an unspiritual idea. Watch this, Psalm 27, 7 and 8. Go there with me. Psalm 27, 7 and 8. In the path of pursuing God, there's so much grace that's available to us. Not for us to take advantage of the grace because we know it's there, but we wouldn't be where we are if it had not been for the grace of God that helped us to get there. Think about it. None of us deserve where we are. We all are deserving of death, but the grace and mercy of God. Hallelujah. Psalm 27, 7 and 8. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. This is a request. Lord, hear me. Hear me. Hear my voice. Hear me. We have to learn as we are pursuing God to make requests of God. Hear my voice, Father, when I cry. Have mercy upon me, right? Answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Now look at this. When you said, Lord, this is him talking to God. God, you told me to seek your face. And in my pursuit of you, I had a heart that was determined to seek you. This is, I'm bringing myself into alignment with what you have said. The only way for me to hear you is to be in the place where I can hear you speaking, right? Now, seeking God is not only intended for us to ask his help to figure out problems. That's not the only reason, right? But seeking the voice of God is the daily expectation for the believer because we understand that as we seek him and as finding him is not a goal but an expectation, then we're being transformed. Tomorrow, I don't want to respond like I did yesterday. Because in my pursuit of you, my pursuit is changing me to be what you want me to be. I'm not just pursuing you just to say I'm chasing after God. Right? I'm not just pursuing you, watch this, to use what I heard to act deep, right? I'm not going to use it just so that I can quote scripture to make it seem like I've got a little bit more Jesus than you. But I'm seeking you because with my whole heart, I want to be transformed. Watch this. I recognize that there's dark spots in my soul that need to be illuminated by your presence. There are inner recesses, things that are going on down on the inside of me that I can't exactly explain it, but it's getting on my nerve. God is after, when we are in pursuit of Him, He illuminates those areas that we don't quite understand. And He'll minister to those dark areas in our lives and help us to be transformed. If you're pursuing God and you never change, you might not be pursuing God. Help me to really chase you. Help me to really be in pursuit of you, God. I try to tell you guys the truth all the time whenever I preach, because I'm going to be held accountable. And I'm going to tell you right now, there are times when your voice can sound like God's voice, if it's what you want to do bad enough. You can talk yourself right into believing that what you want is God. I know I say that all the time, but it's still the truth. All right? We got to make sure that what we're following is the voice of God. Whew. Sometimes God will tell you something that you really are not prepared to hear. Who said yes, Lord? It's the truth anyhow. I could have talked myself right out of this, and I could still be directing the choir with my back to the audience, still to this day. I could have talked to myself right out of, there are some things that you could have talked to. You know, God's been stretching you, pressing you, pulling you, pushing you, preparing you, developing you, disciplining you for, and you tired of the process. You are in pursuit of something that you're tired of waiting for the fruition of. Am I telling this the truth or it? All right. How many along the way have said, I could have not done this? I could have picked something else. If I had I might have more money. Is that the truth, bro? I got all these kids by this joker. Y'all ain't got to say nothing to me. It's the truth anyhow. Right? I could have did something else. This was a waste of, anybody ever told, this was a waste of time. I don't feel like waiting because I'm sick of wasting time. I got a 5-year plan for my life. And in 5 years, I expect to be, see, this is why when that bad doctrine of people trying to tell you to command God, while we're trying to command God and tell Him what we ain't gonna take, I could see Him standing back saying, oh, really? There's only one God who can speak to the waves and the winds and they stop. There's only one God who spoke the existence of humankind and the entire planet and all of the planetary system into place. Spoke it with my voice. And you gonna command me? All right, I got you. I can show you better than I can tell you. So you have to make sure your pursuit is in God. You got to be geared up and ready for this process. Pursuing God is not for the faint of heart. It is not an easy process. It's not. I just heard God speak one day and I just walked out on faith. Okay. It didn't happen just that easy for me. I heard God speak and I had to say, are you sure? Let me go fast and pray. And after I heard the same thing again, let me go ask a prophet. Let me go talk to my pastors. Let me make sure I'm hearing you and I'm not just hearing the desire of my heart. Let me make sure that I'm not stepping out in front of the Holy Ghost because I'm not trying to pursue Rod. I'm trying to pursue God. When you said, seek my face, my heart has to be in the place where I says, Lord, your face then I will seek, right? So it's not just for the faint of heart. But here's what has to happen. We have to bring ourselves into alignment with the word in this same book of Psalm, chapter 27, that says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and it's that thing that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Watch this. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and it's that one thing that I seek after. That word seek means demand. One thing that I desire of God, and it's the one thing that I demand. Watch this. Who are you demanding? You're not demanding God. You're demanding yourself. I demand my soul to line up and become obedient to the word and the plan of God. This is what he's saying. This is the one thing. If there's anything that I'm going to demand, I'm going to demand that I line up with God's word, because I'm pursuing him. And then watch this. I'm demanding myself, right, that I dwell in the house of the Lord. Watch this. Dwell, that word dwell means many things. But one of them that I really liked, it meant marry. To enter into covenant with God. So I want to align myself with discipline so that I get in lockstep with the word of God, so much so that I marry his word. I enter into covenant with the word of God, and I allow God's word in me to be a lasting covenantal word. In other words, I can't jump out this thing because I'm covenant to. I cannot, and I'm not willing to, divorce myself from the plan of God. Matthew 19 and 8. Somebody go there for me. Matthew 19 and 8. Matthew 19 and 8. Hallelujah. He said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, permitted you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. I'm going to read that again. He said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, permitted you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. I'm not getting ready to switch gears and preach a message on marriage and divorce. But I want to talk to your spirit man. What was it that caused the bill of divorce to be written? It was the hardness of hearts. What is it that tries to cause us to divorce ourselves from the plan of God, it's the hardness of our hearts. I'm gonna tell you something. God never desires a bill of divorcement from us. When our hearts are hardened, we try and divorce from the plan of God. And we will try to adjust the process and how we pursue and what we hear along the way on the path of pursuing. Tell your neighbor, don't divorce, don't divorce, don't divorce, don't divorce. So the desire to come out of the house of God is from a hardened heart. What causes a hard heart? What causes a hard heart? Disappointment? Frustration? Anguish? Right? All these things develop a hard heart. How many of you have been frustrated with God? Y'all tell me the truth now. I'm not trying to, I got on a turtleneck, it's hot, so I'm not trying to do all that. How many of you all have been disappointed? Tell the truth. You ever went to God and said, I just really don't understand this. I don't know why I'm here. I don't get this. I thought I was past this. I thought we had something deeper than this. Right? This is real stuff, right? Because sometimes it's that frustration where hardness of heart is birthed. I can't tell you how many pastors walk away from the pulpit because their hearts have gotten hardened along the way. Sometimes it's because we're seeking our own thing and not God's thing. Oh, listen, I remember a time, and y'all can remember this too, when the whole church was full of people. There have been people who have left the pulpit because what they see changed. You can't allow yourself to divorce from the assignment of God because what you see changes. Because sometimes when you're following God, he needs you to see something different. Sometimes we look at the faces of the people, but we've got to be just like God told Isaiah. Don't be concerned on the outside. Jeremiah, I'm sorry. Don't be concerned on the outside. You've got to look. It's someplace else that you have to be concerned with. So don't wonder about what's going on the outside. God that judges the intent of a man's heart, right? Don't walk away from the plan of God. Here's what happens when you make a decision to focus on the outward, what you think you should have, where you think you should be. You'll misstep trying to make a step that's easier for you to step. Don't make the mistake of missing God because you're trying to formulate your steps. All right? Trying to formulate your own path is the direct result from being unfocused in your pursuit. When you're not focused on God, and focused on how you feel in the process, you become unfocused. God deals with our feelings to help to mature them. Watch this. Because he understands them. For we have a high priest who can be touched with the feelings of our infirmity. But when we are in that infirm state, the Bible says we can come into his presence and we can find the help that we need. So it's okay how you feel, It's okay. Feel it. But don't dismiss yourself from the plan of God because you had a feeling. I feel like, so we all do. I don't feel the same way about it that I used to feel. So what? Last time I checked, feelings change. You might be happy today, so your feelings are better. So you feel like going on. But I feel pressure. Lord, you couldn't have called me to do this. This is just real stuff, right? Right? It's feelings based. I'm not gonna go there, but it's a place I wanna go, but it's not right. But you know, you can get into your feelings and your feelings will lead you the wrong way. Pick up your feelings. Pick them up. You got to do something with those feelings. How you feel today might not be how you feel tomorrow. God didn't call you to what he's calling you to because you feel like it. Say, Lord, help me to stay here right here. Help me stay here right here. Stay here right here. Stay here right here. I need to stay here right here. We talked for 4 weeks, understanding first we are predestined, right? That's what we said first, right? And then understanding that we have a purpose in mind, right? God does not give us all of this to bring us to a point where we don't pursue him. You can never get to the place where you've been predestined if you stop pursuing God. Ever. Never, ever. It's never going to happen. It won't happen at all. I promise you that. And then we talked about you have to be able to maintain a certain position. Right? You don't give up the position that God has given you to take. Because you don't feel like it right now. Tell your neighbor, don't be so emotional. I don't feel like a pastor every day I wake up. I don't. You ever woke up and didn't feel saved? But it's the reality of who you are. the end of this is prosperity. This is the end of it. It's prosperity. We understand the reality of being predestined, right? The responsibility of being prepared. Because in order to prepare, you've got to do something, right? The discipline of maintaining the position, the mindset to pursue after God, right? Despite how you feel, despite what's going on, despite how disappointed you might be, despite how tired you get along the way. Anybody ever got tired? All these elements come together to lead us to prosperity. 3 John 1 through 6 says, to the elder beloved Gaius, who I love in the truth, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Now, some time ago, Prosperity Gospel took this particular word and they made it seem like what God was saying is, I want you to financially prosper above everything. And they used this as their springboard to be able to push the Prosperity Gospel. But when you understand the reason for prosperity, what the writer was saying here to Gaius is, I wish above all things that you would continue to prosper, comma, so that you can continue to bring in those missionaries in the faith as they are continuing to do the work of Christ. This is why I want you to prosper. I wish that you would continue to prosper so that your house doors can continue to be open to entreat those in the faith so that they can continue. God wants you to continue so you can help somebody else to continue. Why am I going through all this hell? So they can come through hell. Why am I facing all this trouble? So they can see somebody believe in God enough to know that they can come through their trouble. Your whole life, watch this, is a testimony to somebody else that if you trust God, you can make it. That's it, right? We are to be a visible example of submission to the plan and the word of God in the earth so somebody else would see us and desire to follow after God. That's it. All right? I want you to prosper and be in health. Don't go back to eating crazy after this fast. I said, God, you are amazing how you bring things together at the end. Don't go back to eating 12 meals a day and snacks. Come on. You don't need a 12-ounce steak. You don't need 12 chicken wings. You don't. You don't need a half a plate of macaroni and cheese and then a quarter plate of mashed potatoes dripped in dressing that's going to clog your arteries. And then a whole chocolate cake. And then salad with light dressing. And a Diet Coke. Don't go back. Listen, I'm going to tell you what ends up happening. The moment you say yes to God, the first thing the enemy tries to do is bring health problems. He wants to slow you down in the process so your yes can be hindered. I say a yes to God, D. Paul, and then the doctor say, you got diabetes. The devil is a lie. A whole lie, not a half one. He's a whole lie. Right? You got to take care of the temple that God has given you. I wish above all things that you would prosper. You have an assignment on your life. Don't let cheesecake get in the way of you achieving the purpose that God has predestined for your life. This is real stuff. We talk about the other stuff, sex and drugs and pornography. No, cheesecake and pound cake. Watch your carb intake. Exercise. Go to the doctor and believe what he says and do the right thing so you can change. I'm just trying to just be for real, right? Do the right stuff so you can get to the right place. God wants you to prosper, But you can't prosper going back to what you left. You prayed more this month, keep praying. Don't stop praying now. Oh, the fast is over. The consecration is over. No, but the assignment, the pursuit continues. All right. Y'all good? Amen? The reality of being predestined. And then what follows is the responsibility of being prepared. You've got to do something, right? You got to do something with what you know you have, right? Come on, somebody, right? Don't take your money and bury it and then think that you're going to give that back to the Lord of the harvest. No. The Lord of the vineyard is coming to look for some interest on your life. I've given you a gift because I expect to come back and get interest. I expect you to do something. If you're a preacher, preach. If you're a singer, I expect you to be singing. Walking through Walmart with a song in your heart, sing. Come on, somebody. I'm trying to help you. At a minimum, we are all called to be witnesses of him. We should be somewhere with thinking on God enough, pursuing him enough to be able to get a word through to somebody that don't know God. God didn't call saved folk to prophesy to saved folk only. Huh? Yeah. We are called to go out and be a light to darkness. If I got lights on in my house, I don't need to go buy more lights. I'm about to be done, but I got stuff to tell y'all. God has given you what he's given you to prepare you to take you from the light place to darkness. He's sending light to dark. He's not bringing dark to light. They ain't coming to church like they was. Because in here is not where the Spirit of God dwells. We don't come in here and pick up the Spirit and then do the benediction and leave us. He ain't sitting right here on the altar waiting for us to come back. The Spirit of God lives down on the inside of us. So everywhere we go, light is going to darkness. You can't be like them people on your job. You can't respond to all those things the way that they respond, because we're called to be different. We're called to see, light will show up stuff. You can get dressed in the dark and come out shocked. But when you get dressed in the light, it will show you your real self. And God is giving us what he has given us so that we can show people. Oh, the world keeps people in the dark about themselves. This is why God called us into the world, not to be like them. Right? The reality, we have been predestined. God called us for this. And then he called, not only did he call us, but he has given us a responsibility to be prepared. How are we being prepared? Through his word. Through time in his presence. He's preparing us. Everything that you have gone through, experienced, all that stuff was preparatory. God is preparing you for where he's taking you. And then the discipline of maintaining the position. Don't give up your position. Be who God called you to be, even when you don't feel like being who God called you to be. Sometimes I want to lay down the preacher title and just cuss everybody out. I'm just as real as they come. But that won't do anything to help me to stay in position that God has called me to stay in. So rather than cuss, I have to pray. Rather than cuss, you got to pray. Pray, 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 pray more, cuss less. Pray more, cuss less. Pray more, cuss less. Pray me. You going to say that when you all got to pray more and cuss less. I got to. Right? I got to pray more. I got to be willing to pray. I don't want to lose my position. And then give me the mind to pursue God. Everything's not going to be perfect. You're going to get disappointed. You're going to want to quit. You're going to say, I've had enough. You're going to want to trade in your testimony. You're going to want to turn off the light switch. You're going to want to pick up all the salt. You're going to want to do it all. You're going to want to make a complete change. But you got to have a mind, the mind to pursue God. And all this is necessary if you want to see prosperity. I'm done. I hope you've been blessed. I hope you were helped. But I don't want to just preach messages and shout and make you feel good. I want you to go home and really think about. I want conviction to happen. Right? Whenever we start living out more loudly than the Holy Spirit living loudly in us, we should be convicted, right? What I want today is when you say, I've had enough, I want you to have a quick conversation with yourself and say, but nevertheless, not my will. Your will be done. I don't feel like doing this. But nevertheless, not my will, your will be done. I am so sick of their attitude, I want to punch them right in the face. But nevertheless, not my will, your will be done. I'm about ready to cuss. But nevertheless, not my will, your will be done. I don't have to do this, but yes, I do. Because you called me to it. So nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. This is too hard for me. But God, I can imagine how it was facing the cross. So nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. I'm sick of them, but I only got one to worry about. You got the whole world to. Nevertheless, not my will. Yours be done in me. Amen. I'm done for real this time. Father, I thank you for each and every one that's here under the sound of my voice. I thank you right now, Father, for the will and the do of your pleasure. Give us a mind to remain consistent in the name of Jesus. It might get rough, but I want to remain consistent. It might get difficult along the way, but I want to remain consistent. Put a guard on my tongue and the things that I say. Set watch on my thoughts. That I don't dwell on thoughts that should not enter into my mind. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I need your help so that I can make it. Strengthen me today. Empower me today. Fill me afresh with your Holy Spirit. And I bless you for it now. Now, Father, when I leave this place, I am not walking away from your spirit, you're going with me where I go. And help me to take light to dark places. In the name of Jesus. And I thank you for it now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We want to pray for salvation for those that are watching. And then for those of you who are joining us on our live stream, we are preparing to receive communion today. So you can take a moment, if you haven't done so already, just to grab those things that you're going to be using for communion. But before we have communion, we always want to make space, because the wonderful thing about technology is that people don't always have to watch the moment that you're streaming. But there might be somebody that picks this up on YouTube, or they might pick this up on Facebook or whatever other streaming device that we're using, and the word could prick their hearts. And we never want to get into a place where we don't offer somebody the opportunity to get to know Jesus Christ and the pardoning of their sins. So perhaps you've never accepted Christ, or perhaps at one point you walked with him and you made a decision to walk away. Today can be a turning point for you. Today is when you can get back in lockstep with the purposes of God, and you can continue and begin again to pursue him. Repeat this prayer after me. Say, my dear Heavenly Father, you know the depths of my heart, and I come to you now acknowledging that I am a sinner. But I thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying for me on the cross of Calvary. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead. Come into my life. Save me from my sins. Wash me in your blood and fill me with your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer with us, amen, you have made the best decision that you're ever going to make in your entire life. You can just reach out to us on our Facebook page. Just let us know, or you can comment on the thread in our YouTube stream. Just let us know that you have made a decision for Christ, and we want to be able to give you more information on this new life in Christ, this walk in Christ. This is a very, very real walk. This is not a religious walk, but this is a very, very real walk. Amen. It's a spiritual life. Amen. Amen. So just let us know. We want to be able to help you out. Amen. God bless you. Amen. All right. Communion. We should have what we need. Right? Amen. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 11:26 that as often as you eat this bread and drink of this cup, you show the Lord's death until he comes. We believe that the body and the blood is symbolic in what we are receiving today. For the Lord Jesus Christ has come in the flesh to accomplish the will of the Father, taking away the first that he might establish the second. The word of God says, I will put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering of sin. Thank God for his grace and his mercy that we don't have to go and commit animal sacrifice to absolve ourselves for sins that may have been committed by thought, word, or deed. But it's the blood of Jesus that covers our sin and has taken away the sin of the world. The Bible says that whoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. And so eat that bread and drink of their cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. So, Father, we gather today and we ask forgiveness for anything that we may have thought, done, or said that doesn't bring glory and honor to you. Remove it afar from us, Father. Help us, Father, not turn again to those things that you have given us to lay down. But as we have heard today, let us be pursuant of your will, your plan, thanking you for your grace and for your mercy. So we confess our sin, and we thank you right now, Father, that you forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all of our unrighteousness. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Now, Father, bless this that we receive that is symbolic of your body and your blood. Your word says that as we do this in remembrance of your sacrifice upon the cross of Calvary. Now bless it now as we partake in remembrance in Jesus' name. Amen. For I have received of the Lord that which I deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do ye in remembrance of me. Let us receive his body. After the same manner, he also took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Let us receive his blood. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that you have given us to commune with you. Now, Father, we give you praise, we give you thanks, and we give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 We thank God for each and every one of you. Amen. So glad to see so many of you here with us this morning. Those of you who are joining us, amen, by way of live stream. Amen. Let's not forget Tuesday night Bible study. Amen. On Zoom, you can find the access code and password in our Facebook thread. Amen. We'd love to see you this Tuesday night at 7 p.m. on our Zoom Bible study. Amen. And then we thank you for all of your generous gifts that you continue to sow into the ministry. Amen. The ways to give are going to be on your screen. Amen. We ask that you don't forget, we still urgently need your tithes and your offerings. Amen. There's a lot of things that we need to do around the church. Amen. There was a video that we put out last week. Amen. Thank you for those who have already been sowing into the need that we have. Amen. But please remember to make your pledges. Amen. And then once you do that, let's honor them. Amen. Amen. But we thank you guys in advance for helping us to be able to return the building back to the state where it needs to be. 2 years has been a long transitional time. Amen. So there's a lot of things that needs to be done. Amen. So we thank you in advance for all that you're able to help us to do. Amen. Let's all stand. Continue to pray for all those who are out from among us. Amen. Pray for Apostle Clarissa. Amen. For Sister Shirley, Mother Trice, Brother Obi Trice. Amen. Let's continue to lift them up in prayer. And all those else that I may not know if there's a need, but let's go back, putting your name on the Facebook thread. Amen. And we can make sure that we're praying for you. But all those concerns, amen. Father, we thank you for all that we have heard and seen today. Thank you for worship. Thank you for our fellowship. Thank you for the word. Thank you for all those who have come out, and thank you for those who have joined through our live stream. We pray, oh God, your protection over them. We pray, oh God, your blessings over their life, over their family. All that they put their hands to do, let it come to a place of prosperity. And we thank you that when the storms of life come, we will remain constant in our pursuit of you. now, Father, as we leave from this place, help us to get to our destination safely. We'll always be careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless each and every one of you. Love you.
Thank you for listening to TGT Speaks, our multimedia voice emanating from the True Gospel Tabernacle Church of Detroit. You can subscribe to us at TGT Podcast on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Spotify. If you like TGT Podcast, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate, and give us a review. And also, if you would like to donate to our ministry, you can visit our website at www.tgtchurch.org and give your tax-deductible donation through PayPal. We really appreciate the generous and tangible love gift of any monetary denomination from our friends and partners. And we commit that your love gift enables us to continue furthering the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Thank you for your support, and we'll see you next week.